Within bid. But I'm especially grateful that today we have the opportunity to continue in worship through opening up God's Word. And I loved just the passage and that we're going to be in this morning. It really relates to one of the songs that we sang, which is Deep Cries Out to Deep. And that's part of the theme for this year in 2019 for Imago Church, to be able to go deeper and wider. Deep and wide. That we would have the opportunity to go deeper in our relationship with God and our relationship with each other, and also to go wider, to widen the circle of who God has here at Imago Church, to invite others to be a part of God's family here at Imago. So I'm excited to be able to get into this message, and if you have your Bible, please go ahead and open it up today to the book of Genesis. That's in the very beginning, in chapter 15.
Hoy vamos a leer la escritura en el libro de Génesis, es el primer libro en la Biblia, en el capítulo 15.
If you need a Bible, we have Bibles in the back. We have them in English and in Spanish, probably beginning... And even in the back, Danny, if you guys want to put in the Bible app, you can put in Genesis chapter 15, 1 to 6. And if not, we can read out loud with our Bibles just for today.
Génesis capítulo 1, versículos 1 al... Génesis capítulo 15, versículos 1 al 6.
So I'll go ahead and read the scripture for us first in English, in Spanish, and then in English. So let's hear now with open ears and open hearts from God's Word, the book that we love. I'll read first in Spanish.
Voy a leer primero en español. Génesis capítulo 15, versículos 1 al 6. Después de esto, la palabra del Señor vino a Abraham en una visión. No temas, Abraham, yo soy tu escudo y muy grande será tu recompensa. Luego... Abraham le respondió, Señor y Dios, ¿para qué vas a darme algo si aún sigo sin tener hijos y el heredero de mis bienes será Eliezer de Damasco? Como no me has dado ningún hijo, mi herencia la recibirá uno de mis criados. No, ese hombre no ha de ser tu heredor, le contestó el Señor. Tu heredero será tu propio hijo. Luego el Señor lo llevó afuera y le dijo, mira hacia el cielo y cuenta las estrellas, a ver si puedes así de numerosas será tu descendencia. Abraham creyó el Señor y el Señor lo reconoció a él como justo. Además le dijo, yo soy el Señor que te hice salir de Ur de los Caldeos para darte en posesión esta tierra.
I'll read the scriptures now for us in English from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 6. You can follow along in your Bibles or in your Bible apps. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me, for I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, Look toward heaven. And number the stars. If you are able to number them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Es la palabra de Dios. Gracias al Señor. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar. God, we thank you and we give you praise for just the gift of being reunited, Lord. I love how the scriptures say it, Lord, even in some of Paul's letters, he says to the congregations that I long to see you, I long to be with you and see you face to face. I felt the same way, Lord, and now what a joy it is to be together once again. And Lord, what a joy especially to reflect on your word. Qué gran gozo poder reflejar y meditar en tu palabra preciosa esta mañana. And God, we just pray that you would illumine us through your word. Would your light shine in our hearts and in our minds?
Señor, que nos ilumines por medio de tu palabra.
Lord, teach us something new. We pray this in the faithful name of Jesus. Amen. So the passage that we enter into this morning describes the covenant with Abraham. We see in chapter 12, just a few chapters before, what started as a conversation. God has a conversation with Abraham, then that conversation becomes a promise, and then that promise ultimately culminates to become a covenant. Now, a covenant is a deal that God makes with Abraham. A deal that started as a conversation that then led to a covenant. Back in chapter 12, God makes the following promise to Abraham. God says to Abraham, I will bless you and I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing to all of the nations. God starts this immediate blessing with Abraham.
La interacción entre Abraham y Dios empieza en el capítulo 12 con una conversación y esa conversación se convierte a un pacto en el capítulo 15 que leímos.
So, just a little bit of background on this passage. I love here how at Imago Church we have people that are taking their first steps in faith, others that are taking their next steps. So some of us may not be as familiar with who Abraham is or what the book of Genesis is about. And that's great. I love that we're all here together. We're all learning together. So just a little bit of background on who Abraham is. Abraham here is a nomad from the land of Ur. That means that he didn't have a place to settle, but he and his family were constantly wandering around. And they were from this land in the ancient Near East. If you remember in elementary school, you probably learned about Mesopotamia, that whole area. That's where Abraham was from. And he had no place to really call home. And God chose him to bless him, not because of anything Abraham had done or said, but simply because God is gracious and merciful. He chose Abraham, and he chose to give Abraham a promise and a covenant that even extends to us here in 2019. Just to get a little bit more a background on who Abraham is, arguably, no one besides Jesus Christ has ever been more influential in world history than Abraham. Just to give us an idea about this, the three major religions of the world, the three major worldviews of the world today, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, they all look to Abraham as their spiritual grandfather. You know, we really even got to see this up front and close when we were traveling together as a family this past month. We got to go to different parts of the world in the Middle East and in Africa, and we had a stop in Turkey, which is a place where many biblical events happened. And then we also went to East Africa and Uganda, made a quick stop in Rwanda as well. But we got to see around and see how much these three worldviews, these three major faiths, have impacted the world. Judaism, Islam, Christianity. Just to be able to give us an idea about this, for example, in numbers. Adherents of these three major faiths of Judaism, Islam, Christianity make up 4 billion people. 4 billion people in the world today. That's over half of the world's population. Even today, in 2019, over half of the world look to this man, Abraham, as their great father in faith. Yet here, in this passage, we see this father of faith, Abraham. We see him doubting. We see him struggling. We see him fearing. So which one is it? Is Abraham a man of deep faith or a man of great doubt? Deep faith or great doubt? Well, the answer is yes. Abraham is both a man of deep faith and also someone who wrestles with God in his doubts. Abraham was deeply broken and yet deeply blessed. There was nothing special about Abraham. We even see in other passages later on that he tried to get things his own way. He tried to lie, cheat, and steal to get things his own way. But God continues to be faithful in his life. Not because of anything Abraham did, but because of who God is, merciful, gracious, and faithful. Abraham is someone deeply broken and yet blessed by God.
Abraham es un hombre aquebrantado y sin embargo bendecido por Dios.
So how does this work? How does God deal with Abraham's doubting and Abraham's fearfulness, especially in times when he is under pressure? This passage here shows us the way that God deals with Abraham is the same way that God deals with us during our moments of fear, during our moments of doubt. What does God do? God engages Abraham. God doesn't run away from him. God doesn't say, that's too scary, or that's you don't have enough of this or enough of that. God engages Abraham. He engages his fear. He starts a conversation, and that conversation leads to the covenant, which takes place in this passage.
Dios confronta el temor de Abraham por medio de una conversación y esa conversación resulta en el gran pacto que Dios hace con Abraham. Un pacto que va a bendecir toda la humanidad y todas las generaciones.
God makes a covenant with Abraham. A covenant that will bless all of the nations and all of the generations, even us here today. So, in the last few chapters of this book of Genesis, we see that Abraham is told that he will be blessed to be a blessing. So Abraham is never told, and this is the way that God's blessing always works in the scriptures, and even in our lives as believers. We're never just blessed, period. We're never just blessed for me and mine. We are blessed to be a blessing.
Somos bendecidos para ser una bendición.
Abraham was blessed. And then through that, there was an individual blessing to one man. And then that blessing extended to a family. And then his family became a nation. And then that nation became a blessing to all of the nations. And that's how we're here today. Because Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. In this moment when God gave the promise to Abraham, you know, life back then, just like life today, it was hard. It was complicated. It was complex. Humanity had turned away from God. Humanity had been against one another. Yet in response, God doesn't just see that brokenness and leaves it there. God does something about it. In response, God will work through a family and provide a son, a descendant in order to renew all the earth, in order to bring back people back to himself, in order to bring salvation into the world. So for some of us, this is finally making sense. We're connecting some of it. Do you understand now here that the great descendant of Abraham is the one who the Bible reveals to us as Jesus? Jesus, the one who brings salvation into the world, the one who makes right something precious that has been broken. It all connects. It's all part of the same story. And through this descendant, who the scriptures tell us is Jesus, God will reclaim all of humanity back to himself. God will bring about salvation to a world that so desperately needs it. That was the promise to Abraham.
Esa fue la promesa de Dios a Abraham, que le va a dar un descendiente que va a traer salvación a todo el mundo.
So that was God's promise, but then what happens? Time has passed. Years have passed. Abraham and his wife try to have children, and they don't. They can't have children because she's barren. Some of us here know the pain and the challenge that comes along with that. With trying to have children, praying, begging, but for one reason or another, it's not happening. Some of us know just the challenge and the frustration that can happen when we believe that there's a promise on our life, but it's just not coming. Here in this passage, we see that Abraham was told to wait. He's told to wait, then there's more praying. There's long nights that I would imagine would be filled with tears and cries out to God for both Abraham and Sarah. They try to have children, but they continue to fail over and over and over again. Yet they come to God, and God's response is to wait. God will always respond to our prayers, but sometimes, frustratingly, God's response to us will be wait. And here, in this passage, in chapter 15, it has most likely been years since God made Abraham a promise back in chapter 12. Now just imagine that. Years of having to wait for God. We here in our culture, we often want things instantly, right? We want instant satisfaction and fast food and instant meals. Some of us, I've even known some friends that are no longer friends because they've sent text messages and the little bubble comes up and there's no immediate response. We want things instantly. Abraham was told to wait. God at times will tell us to wait. En el capítulo 15, ya han pasado unos cuantos años desde que Dios le dio la promesa a Abraham. Dios le habla a Abraham diciéndole, no temas, Abraham, yo soy tu escudo, soy tu protector. Vas a estar bien. So here we see that after what felt like a lifetime of silence, God speaks to Abraham. God's first words to Abraham are, do not fear. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield. Fear not, Abram. I am your protector, your provider. Notice here, God doesn't say to Abraham, oh, you know what, Abraham? I'm sorry. I was running late. I've just been really overwhelmed with everything. I haven't been able to get to that. No. God says to Abraham confidently, do not be afraid. Notice here also, God doesn't say to Abraham, well, the reason you've had to wait so long is because you need to do more, or you haven't done enough, and I'm punishing you. No. God doesn't say that to Abraham. He simply says, do not be afraid. God speaks to Abraham and he reminds him, I am your shield. I am your reward. I am your provider. Do not be afraid. No temas, Abraham. Es la palabra de Dios a Abraham mientras su esperanza, mientras el tiempo que esperó. In reaction to God's declaration, to God being silent for so long and then suddenly just saying these words, do not be afraid. Now, when I hear that, I can even feel a little bit frustrated. And I'm tempted to insert what I call a yes, God, but statement. I want to fill in a response for Abraham here. I want to say, yes, God, but you don't understand. To which God would respond, do not be afraid. Yes, God, but all of the odds are against me. Do not be afraid. Yes, God, but I don't have the resources or the money. I'm really tapped out right now. I'm in deep pressure. Do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your provider. I am your protector. Do not be afraid. How about for you? What's your yes, God, but statement today? Whatever it may be, regardless of how big or small you may perceive that to be, God's response remains the same for us today as it was for Abraham back then. Do not be afraid. No temas. God engages Abraham's doubts. And similarly, in our moments of doubt and wondering, real faith does not ask us to stuff it all away or to pretend like it doesn't exist. Real faith doesn't ask us to just act as if we're too blessed to be stressed. But real faith reminds us that we are blessed to be a blessing. And that in the abundant life there are joys and challenges, but He is faithful. And He will never leave us or forsake us. Real faith is not bumper sticker religiosity. But real faith is also not just cheap skepticism or sarcasm. But the faithful throughout the scriptures express their doubts through groaning, through honesty, through praying, and through bringing their authentic doubts to a faithful God. Now, when we bring our doubts to such a God, faith invites us to be willing to do something unthinkable. Faith invites us to doubt our doubts, to trust God and doubt our doubts. Faith invites us to be skeptical about our skepticism and to be confident in God. La fe nos invita a dudar nuestras dudas, pero en vez confiar en el Dios vivo. So, Imago Church, may we bring the big questions before God, rather than just running away to something or someone else that we know will not fulfill us or comfort us in only the way that the living God can. Abraham takes God at His word. Abraham looks up to the sky and is willing to trust God amidst crisis. Abraham trusts Him in his crisis. And oftentimes, for us, the lack of faith or faith is made most evident in our lives during our times of crisis. Nuestra fe está probada especialmente en momentos de crisis. Abraham believed God would give him a son in spite of many years of childlessness. Now, that's kind of hard for us to understand here today, but in the context in which Abraham's story was occurring, to have children and to have offspring were security for the future. Abraham believed that God would give him a future. Against all odds and all circumstances in which he found himself, Abraham held on to hope. And friends, holding on to hope is holding on to life. Because without hope, there is no life. There may be existence, but that's not the abundant life that God has invited us into. Sin esperanza, no hay vida. No hay la vida abundante que Dios nos invita. Now, I've learned over the years that all spiritual battles, all battles in this life are actually fought in the battle arena of faith. All of life's obstacles require us to confront and answer the following question. In every battle we go through, we need to answer this question. In who or in what am I trusting? Where am I placing the weight of my life down? In every single battle in this life, we will be confronted with that question. Fear will constantly try to convince us that God's grace and God's everlasting covenant are not enough. Fear will try to tell us that that is insufficient. Fear exchanges trust in God for trust in people, places, things, and outcomes. And we all know all of those things work until they don't. And perhaps, worst of all, fear creates obstacles for blessing. Fear creates a barrier in receiving a blessing and in being a blessing to someone else. Through fear, we create our own walls. We create our own obstacles. But we see here that the first word in this text that God has for Abraham is, "Do not be afraid." In our times of crisis, in our times of doubt, that is God's first word, first reminder to us. Do not be afraid. So in times of trials and of temptation and of discouragement that will come in this life, may we hear the God of Abraham speak to us. Do not be afraid. Trust me. Now, I'm really excited to be back, because I know that this is going to be an amazing year. 2019, I believe, will be the greatest year so far in our journey as a church. And I just want to share a little bit about what our focus is going to be in 2019. This year, we're actually going to focus on discipleship and on evangelism. We're going to focus on going deeper in our relationship with God and with each other, and with also going wider, with inviting others to be part of God's family through Imago Church. And the ways we're going to be doing that, and I'm going to be talking about this over the next couple of months, but we're going to be going deep and wide together. And we're going to be going deep through something we're calling Worship Plus One, where everyone in our church is going to be involved in worship plus one growth opportunity, one discipleship opportunity. And we're going to have our Tuesday night Bible study that starts again in February, but we're also going to start a women's group. We're going to start an online interactive group. And we're also going to start a template for family discipleship, so that you in your home, with your household, you have an opportunity to go deeper in your spiritual lives. You can connect with your family, with your household, and with each other. So those are some things we're going to be rolling out over the next few months. Worship plus one. And then we're also going to be, like I said, that's how we go deeper, but we're also going wider. We're going to have an opportunity to actually go wider, and everyone here is going to have a list. Everyone in our church will have a list that we're calling My 10. My 10 people that I'm praying for, influencing, and inviting to a relationship with Jesus and to be a part of God's family here at Imago Church. So that's something we're going to be working through together. So I'm excited. This is going to be a fantastic year for us. Este va a ser un año excelente para nosotros como una comunidad. So, just like Abraham, we have now entered into a new stage. Ya hemos entrado a una nueva etapa. Remember, what started as a conversation for us just not even 2 years ago. It was just last January that we started regular worship together. Together as a community, we started something from nothing by the grace of God. And now we're entering into the next stage of this covenant mission that God has invited us into. And in this next stage, I want us to embrace part of our identity. And part of our identity as followers of Jesus is that we are local missionaries. We are local missionaries, and we have been blessed to be a blessing. Nosotros somos misioneros locales, hemos sido bendecidos para bendecir a otros. So that's going to be part of our theme for 2019. You are local missionaries. You are called to bless because you have been blessed. Now, we all have spiritual gifts. Some of us here have the gift of hospitality. Some of us have the gift of administration. Some of us have the gift of prayer. Others have other spiritual gifts. Some have the gift of just caring for others. The Bible talks about that. We're going to be learning about what our spiritual gifts are. And here, no one is meant to just be a consumer. But we're all contributors. We're all contributing with our spiritual gifts. And the fact is, no one can do everything. But by the grace of God, everyone can do something. So that's the direction we're going in 2019. Esa es la dirección que vamos a ir en este año de 2019. So everyone can do something. We can begin with praying. We can be giving generously. And we can be discerning how we can use our gifts, our giftings, to continue to build God's kingdom through Imago Church. Now, in this past year of 2018, I've had many yes, God, but moments that I talked about earlier. But it wasn't until I heard clearly the words of the God of Abraham that I could finally fully surrender and step into the call of God to serve as a local missionary, blessed to be a blessing. We are all called to do this together. And in the midst of this call, in this year, 2019, to go deeper and to go wider together, may we together as a community hear the voice of the God of Abraham, which says to us, "Do not be afraid. I will lead you. I will guide you. I will provide for you. Do not be afraid, Carlos. Do not be afraid, Danny. Do not be afraid, Charlotte. Do not be afraid, Marcus. I am the Lord your God. I am your refuge, your protector, your provider. Trust me." If we notice here, these words from God, this is a command, not a suggestion. You notice here, God doesn't say to Abraham, he doesn't say, "You know what, Abraham, would you please consider, maybe for a day, maybe for an hour, would you consider not being afraid or not being as scared?" No. Instead, what God does, God boldly says to Abraham, "Do not be afraid." And we've learned this together at Imago Church, that "do not be afraid" is not just a one-time command, but "do not be afraid" is actually the most repeated command in all of the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, we see it over and over and over again, God commanding and reminding his people, "Do not be afraid. No temas. Yo soy tu Dios. Puedes confiar en mí. Do not be afraid. I am the Lord your God. I am your shield." Now, faith gives us courage to be sent as part of God's covenant mission. And that's the direction that we're going as a community this year. There's another direction, there's another way, and that's the way of fear. That's the way of cynicism. That's the way of passivity. That's the way of sarcasm. On the other hand, I think that is actually the easy route. That's the easy route that oftentimes is a shortcut used to avoid actively engaging in God's mission. Yet faith gives us courage to charge the unknown. And this year in 2019, that's what we're doing as a community. As local missionaries going deeper and wider, a covenant people knowing that we are blessed to be a blessing, we are charging the unknown together. Vamos a entrar a lo desconocido juntos como una comunidad. Being called to go deeper and wider as local missionaries will feel like stepping into the unknown. It's never going to follow the predictable pattern that we wish we could have. You know that pattern that says ready, set, go? But being a local missionary, trusting God fully, trusting God like Abraham, who the Bible describes as the father of faith. You know why it calls him the father of faith? Because he went without knowing. That's what God invites us into, to go without knowing, but fully trusting. When we go without knowing, it's actually always never going to follow the pattern ready, set, go, but it's going to be the call to go, set, ready. Trust me. So together, we're charging the unknown. We're following the lead of Father Abraham here. of going without knowing in 2019, but fully trusting, fully believing. I've come back to 2019, and just in these past few weeks, I've been affirmed to see God continue to work miracles through this community. And He'll do it again, over and over again, just like we sing about. And I believe, as I've said it, I'll say it again, I believe that this will be our greatest year so far. As local missionaries, we're blessed to be a blessing. This may seem overwhelming to some of us, but here are just some 5 practical ways that we can be a blessing to others, to our neighbors, to our family, to those around us. It's an acronym for BLESS. And I'll go over it now, and next week I believe we'll have it printed and it can be in your bulletin. But this is a practical, simple way that we can bless others around us, beginning with B. So BLESS, beginning with B. Begin with prayer. We want to ask everyone to come to God with prayer. Ask God, how do you want me to bless the people around me? To bless those that you've sent me to? Then L, learn to listen. Don't talk, but listen to people. Listen to their struggles. Listen to their pains. Listen to them in the places that God has sent you. Then E, eat. You can't just check this off. This is very serious. You have to have a meal or a cup of coffee with people. That's what builds trust and relationship with them. Then S, serve. If you listen with people and you eat with people and you build hope through relationships, God will direct you on how to serve them. And we're going to have opportunities to serve together as a community as well. Then S, story. When the time is right, now you can talk and share about your story, how Jesus has transformed your life, and how you want to invite them into that relationship with God as well. So God seals His promise to Abraham with this covenant. And let's be clear about this. Whatever we place our trust in, we are in covenant with. Because what we place our trust in, that is what we place at the center of our lives. And the truth is that all covenants away from God are what I call contingent covenants. They're if-then covenants. So for example, if I place my trust and I'm in covenant with my self-image, then that's a covenant that says, if I look good on the outside, then that means that I will be finally loved and accepted on the inside. Or if I'm in covenant with finances, that's a covenant that says, if I have the right investments and the right savings, then I will finally be secure. Or if I'm in covenant with busyness, which in our culture, that's a sign of a status symbol. That's an idol in our culture, right? The busier I am, the more important I am. And when I'm in covenant with busyness, that's a covenant that says, if I am busy enough, then I will finally be important enough to matter. But when we place our faith and our trust in the living God, we are in covenant with the God of Abraham. And when this God is at the center of our lives, we're in a unique covenant that's no longer based on if then. The covenant that God had with Abraham was not based on if then, but it was an I will covenant. And in this radical covenant, God says, I will be faithful to you. Even in your unfaithfulness to me, I will bear the consequences. Jesus on the cross embodies the I will covenant. That even in our faithlessness, God will be faithful to us no matter what. God shatters the if-then covenant. And instead, by His grace, by His mercy, invites us into an I will covenant. This is a new kind of deal that's different than anything we've ever heard of. A new kind of deal where God proclaims that even when you fall and stumble, I will be there to pick you up. Even in your brokenness, I will bless you. And yes, I will build my church. I will draw people near to myself. Friends, may we trust him this year on this journey as we go deeper and we go wider. May we trust that he will do it.
Confiemos juntos que él lo va a hacer.
I love the way that Paul in 1 Thessalonians says it. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, "The one who calls us is faithful, and he will do it." Remember that. He will do it. He's invited us to be a part of the journey, but he will do it. That thing that you're trying to work out in your life, he will do it. Trust him. So friends, we're invited into this covenant mission. Dios nos invita a este pacto, a esta misión juntos. We're invited by our gracious God to go without knowing, to fully trust. And as we go together, may we not be afraid. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. God, we just rejoice today because great is your faithfulness. It's unlike anything that we have seen or experienced. Would you continue to make us more and more like you? As we go out, Lord, from here to love and serve our neighbors, would you continue to build us up, to send us out, Lord? We pray this in the faithful name of Jesus. Oramos todo esto, Señor. En el nombre de Jesús, we prayed in your beautiful name. Amen.